Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches his people about life in the kingdom of God.
If you have a question, then just stand right behind Harry so we can get one question after another, and then we can make sure everybody's clear.
There might be some of us even here today that, you know, you've opened our eyes and helped the fact that we're desiring bubblegum and we don't see the car, we don't notice the car, but now our eyes are open to it, but it's not always as easy to fix our desires. Our desires seem to run deeper, seem sometimes to be out of our control. How do we counsel ourselves? How do we counsel other Christians when, you know, they acknowledge that or they see that or we see that they might be falling victim to doing that same thing?
Yeah, that's really the crux of the issue.
Above and beyond prayer, which is obvious.
Right. Okay. So how do you change your desires? I mean, we all know pray. That's great. That's a great starting point. But what else can you do? You know, I've wrestled with this. Those of you who know me know the last 6 or 7 years of my life has been devoted to that question. And you know, I have a lot to say about that. The long answer is the Loving God series, so I'd commend that study to you. But the short answer is just simply, you know, God has made this invisible promise. He's promised me this reward, and he said, just trust me, you'll love it, but I can't show it to you. How can I get myself, if that has no impact on my heart, how can I get it to have an impact on my heart? How can I look at a gift and get excited about what's inside if I don't know, I don't have any idea what's inside? I can't even conceive of what could be inside. You get excited after you unwrap the present, right? Never before. Or is that entirely true? Do you ever get excited before? Well, it depends on who's given the gift. Remember I told you one time, you can imagine having two uncles who come over to your house every Christmas? And one of them, he just gives you every year just the lamest gifts. You know, he's just... You know, it's going to be like new underwear or used underwear or something. You can never think of anything worthwhile to give. It's always some lame gift. And he comes. And then there's this other uncle. And your heart just starts pumping. His car pulls up in front because every year he thinks of something and it just is the coolest thing. It's you didn't even think of it. And it's something that's better than any other gift that you get. Every year he comes up with something. It's your favorite thing all through the year. You got these two uncles. See, that second uncle gets you excited about the gift even while it's still in the box. The paper's still on it. You don't know what's in there. You can't even conceive what might be in there because he surprises you every time. And yet you're excited. Why? Because of your thoughts about the uncle. It's because you know him, because you love him, and you know how good he is. You have a concept of how good he is, and how generous he is, and how wealthy he is, and all that. The key to changing our desires is to become more impressed with God. And the way to do that is to spend more time experiencing his attributes, the things that are wonderful about God. And this is why I spend as much time as I spend in the Psalms, because there's no more densely packed section of Scripture packed with attributes of God. I mean, you can read one psalm and find easily a dozen attributes in a short psalm. There's no place in the world where their theology proper is more densely packed than in the book of Psalms. And so I'm in the Psalms every morning. I start every day, and I don't pray for you. I don't pray for my family. I don't pray for any of that. I don't ask for anything. My whole morning prayer time is just totally devoted to fixing my attention on the attributes of God. Some attribute, and just saying, God, open my eyes. This attribute doesn't have any effect on me. It's not making me think of you like that amazing uncle. It's just the words. It's just omnipresence or, you know, eternality, and it's just hitting me like a, you know, like a brick wall. It's not warming my heart. It's not making me excited about this uncle pulling up with this gift. Open my eyes to see what's so amazing about your eternality or your omnipresence. And I just meditate and pray and read and study and read commentaries on the Psalms and books people have written and everything I can do to get a grip of what's so wonderful and use the blessings of this life for what they're intended to be, and that is samples, tiny little illustrations of God's goodness. He's the one that came up with the best stuff in this world. He's the uncle that came up with all that. And let that train your heart. Everything you can do to just love God more and desire God more and be more thrilled with the experience of God, and then it'll be a little bit more believable when you tell your soul, okay, soul, get excited because he promised something and he's just saying it's really good but you can't see it. And your soul will say, well, based on all the other info I have, I'm excited. Does that make sense? Okay. All right.
It seems to me there's a popular teaching about, and they often refer to Gideon, saying, ask, you know, Gideon asked and God showed him. So how do you, a lot of people refer to that and you're like, but.
You're talking about the fleece?
Yeah. And he said, God, I want to see this. And God did it for him. So people are out there saying, well, you just have to ask God and you have to pray hard enough and God will do that for you.
I actually devoted most of a whole sermon to that in the Wisdom series. So if you ever go through that Proverbs, the Book of Proverbs Wisdom series on online, then I address that in some length. Again, that's a long answer. Short answer, I would just say one difference is with Gideon, God initiated that whole conversation, right? God's the one that came up with the idea, and Gideon's making sure that it's God who's talking to him. And there's nothing wrong with that. My version of that is God tells me something crystal clear and black and white in here, and I want to make sure it's God talking to me, and so I look to see the evidences of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the prophecy and everything that proves the Bible is God's word, and then once I have that, that's my fleece. And that proves that what God is saying is, I mean, this really is God speaking to me, and now I need to do everything he says, just like Gideon. So the way that we imitate Gideon is by verifying that this is God's word. Now, sometimes people use Gideon for all kinds of things. Sometimes people say, well, I'm putting out a fleece. I need to know, you know, if I should go take a trip down to Mexico for the weekend. I think I should. I'm not sure. I'm going to put out a fleece. So, God, if I wake up and I look at my alarm clock, and it's on an even number and not an odd number, that means I should go. You know, that's their fleece. In fact, I heard about one girl that did that, and she woke up, and she her alarm clock said 7:47. And that was her confirmation. God wants me to get on the plane and go. 7:47. The reason that's not like Gideon's fleece is because Gideon's fleece was a miracle. Gideon was asking for a miracle. Saying, God, show me, make all the ground soaking wet and this fleece dry. That's a miracle. He wakes up in the morning, it's dry. No explanation. Say, God, I want to double check. Now, make the fleece wet and ground dry. Next morning, fleece wet, ground dry. That's another miracle. It's like, okay, God, I'm convinced. I don't have any problem with people doing that. If you have an impulse in your heart, say, I think I need to go to Mexico. I heard a voice. I need to know if it's the voice of God. Say, God, do a miracle. And if you do a miracle, then I'm convinced. In my experience, he doesn't do that. He's already done the miracles to prove this. And so I feel like I go to Mexico, no miracle happens. Guess it wasn't the voice of God. If you're going to do the alarm clock thing, then maybe, like if it said 777 on your digital alarm clock. Now that's something unusual, right? That's something that would be a miracle. But not 747. So, yeah, we confirm the voice of God by seeking miracles to establish it, and that's the purpose of the miracles in the New Testament time, to establish this as the Word of God.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.